Okay, here's the situation. The Maimon is explaining to us a marshal for the tzimtzum of Hishtalshlus that gets you from a higher level to a lower level. And it compares it to speech, to dibur. Just as speech is a great tzimtzum compared to machshava, so too creation involves concealing the light. And the more you conceal the light, the more deformed the metzias, the chumrius becomes the metzias. That's the process of Yashmayayim. In the shit that I gave you on Monday, we spoke how even though in this maimon it's not discussed by Ariches, but in many maimonim, when they talk about Yashmayayim, dibur is not enough. There has to be also what we call parsa. And parsa means that after the tzimtzum that produces the Eisias HaDibur, there is a second tzimtzum that affects, if you will, a scrambling of those Eisias, where the Eisias become anandegishpeit, where the Eisias become scattered and so on. And as a result, when you have words that are not in order, they're not megala any oir. When you have words in order, they're megala oir. When you have words that are not in order, they're not megala any oir, other than the oir of the individual words, of the individual letters. So that's an enormous tzimtzum. And it's al derech moshel yesh me'ayin. This is what we spoke in the last shiur. Today I want to give you mizakt, the standard shiur on Eisias, the kolostik shiur on Eisias. Let's talk about the inyan. And I'm going to be very general. Okay, don't be afraid of what I'm going to say now. But what I'm going to tell you is written in the Maimon, but I'm, so to speak, I'm stepping away from the Maimon. You know, so to speak, a kolostik inyan. You should know that there are two types of things in the Eibishter's creation. And they are things that are created by the Eibishter in a way of kiruv, of closeness, or dveikus, attachedness. I'll explain soon. And things in the Eibishter's creation that are created by the Eibishter in a way called havdalah, separated. What is the marshal for things that are created, the kiruv and dveikus, with closeness and dveikus? Oh, it's light. Every type of light, whether you're talking about light that's called Ein Sof, whether you're talking about light that's called Seichel, whether you're talking about light that's called Midas, or even if you're talking about physical light or physical fire, light is a property that functions in a way of Kiruv and Dveikus. I'm going to explain in a moment. What is the marshal for Havdalah, for things that are separated, Kalim or Oisius? And let's talk about this. What are the criteria, what are the, so to speak, the rules, the Chukim, of those things that are created in the Eifen of Kiruv and Dveikus? Number one, they're attached to the source. Kiruv and Dveikus means you're attached to the source. That means, practically speaking, if you see sunlight, you know there is a sun. You don't have to see this sun. You know there's sunlight. The light comes from a source. Light is a ha'ara, it's a reflection, it's a radiation, it's a ray. It has to come from a source. You see light, you know the source. If the source would go away, the light would vanish. That's Taylor's position. Now, physically, people wonder if the sun would go away. The sun would just disappear, yeah? But it would take 8 minutes for the rays of the sun to disappear, because once the rays have left the sun, they're emetis b'fnei atzmam. According to Teira, whatever the hezbit is going to be in the marshal, the sun disappears, the light disappears. Fatik, there's a dveikus, there's a necessity for a revealed attachedness between the source and the reflection, the light. It's a very big sugya, huh? No. B'chlal Hasidus doesn't worry about science.
I heard this before. This debate between the
right. Well, I didn't learn it in a Maimer. I heard it the same place you heard it, in Chochmas Chitanius. Maimari Hasidus B'chlal don't reckon with Chochmas Chitanius to a remarkable degree. Because Teda is a different Teda from Maimel Lamata. Right.
Getting
is okay, I'm not going into this. But there's another property about oil which is very important, and that is that not only is oil attached to the source, oil is attached to every other oil. If you have light of the sun over here and you have light of the sun over there, if they merge, they take on what's called in science, to use science as a frame of reference, wave property. It doesn't remain separated, it becomes one. And I'll give you just a physical example to illustrate this. Flames. If you have a torch, and you have another torch, and a third torch, You put them together, you still have three torches, but you have one flame. Because the nature of fire, the nature of fire which has a light property, is that there's an attachedness, not only of light to its source, but of light to every other light. And I'll explain this further soon. Now let's talk about Havdalah. Those things that conform to the laws of Havdalah, if you will. We're using words to bring the Indian closer to us. Those things that conform to the laws of Havdalah are, number one, separate from their source. And number two, separated from every other thing. In other words, if you take two torches, or two pieces of coal, a fiery coal is a mashal for kelim, and flame is a mashal for oir, if you put five fiery coals, or 10 fiery coals together, and each one of these coals has flame coming out of it, on the level of the flame, there's one fire. But the coals are always going to remain 10. Because the law of Havdalah is that if it's separated, it's going to remain separated, and it's going to be separated forever. There's no way to make two into one in the realm of Havdalah. Now, you look at a body of a person. A body of a person is made up of trillions of little parts, and they're brought together to create a unity. That's true. But that's the achievement of light. That's the achievement of Ayr. But each one of those parts by itself is inexorably an individual piece, and you can't make it bigger, and you can't make it smaller. What I mean is, you take the different parts of the human body and you glue them together. Yeah, we're made up of cells and of subcells and of subcells. We're made up of many different little parts. Those parts are still each one separate. They're brought together by the power of the nefesh or the neshama, ruchnius, which is oil. But the parts are still separate. And if the neshama is going to go away, the parts are going to go back to what they were before. And there's no reproduction in parts. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to say this in an order so that people will get it clear. And there's some very interesting properties about these two categories of things. For example, those things that go into the category of dveikus can grow. They can expand. They can become more. A small light can produce more light. Those things that go into the category of Havdalah have the following rule. They don't have children. They don't reproduce. You can't break them in half. You can't glue them together. What everything that the Eibishter made in the Bechina of Havdalah as an entity of separateness, the way the Eibishter made it, that's the way it is. You can't make it bigger. You can't make it smaller. You can't split it in half. You can't put two of them together. You could pour two of them together. Like I said before, the putting the two or more of them together is the property, is the effect of oir. Take away the oir, they become separate again. In oir, there's an union of pity, of growth, of development. Oisius, or the Havdalah category of Matthiasen, each one is an union aspect.
What do you mean? For example, growth is when you put two torches together, the flame gets bigger.
Right. Right. But the two torches are two torches. Right. Of course, bigger than each one individually. Of course it's bigger than each one individually. Try it, you'll see.
Our urge spreads to shine.
And it'll always give you more. You produce kelim, there'll be more oil. But kelim do not multiply. There's no such thing as kelim multiplying. Which leads us to a very unusual concept in Hasidus, which is not very, very well known. And it's very important that you get this straight. You know what? I'm stepping back. Before I get to the important point, I'm going to say something else, which is also pretty important, but not as critical as what I'm going to say afterwards. And that is like this. You talk about the Eibishter. The Eibishter is a kelyachol, the Eibishter, anything he wants. But this is what he did. Right? He could do what he wants. What he chose to do was to create a world. It's a combination of these two categories of properties. The properties that are b'chinas oir, dveikus, attachedness, and the properties that are nefen of Havdalah. Okay? In Atzmus, which has the higher Shadish? In Atzmus and Hus, so you're all the way back to the Eibishter, if you will. Which comes from a deeper place in Atzmus and Hus? Those things that are an oifen of Dveikus, or those things that are an oifen of Havdalah? And the answer obviously is, everybody knows this already, that those things that come in oifen of Havdalah have a higher Shadish. For something to be separated from the Eibishter, its Shadish has to be in a deeper point in Atzmus and Hus. The philosophy behind this, which I'm just going to explain briefly, I don't have time for long discourses in as much as this is concerned, is because Atzmus is the Nivdal. Hashem himself is separated. What is he separated from? There's nothing besides for him. So Bamela, how can he be separated from anything if there's nothing other than him? And the answer is that in Atzmus and Hus, separation doesn't mean that he's separate from other things. Separation means that he's not connected to anything. He doesn't have any dependence. One of the basic definitions of Atzmus and Hus is that he's Bifnei Atzmi. He doesn't need anything, and he doesn't have anything. He's himself. This property of being separate and not needing anything other than himself is manifest in those things that go into the category of Havdalah. The light, in Atzmus there's no light, there's just Atzmus. We're a combination. Our neshama is Dveikus, and our guf is Havdalah. No, but b'chlal in Bria, there's no such thing as not needing another thing. We're talking about in the experience of the person. In other words, Yesh Mayayin means that there's a Gash music thing that doesn't need anything. That's not true. It's a lie. That Yesh needs the Eibishter. It appears not to need anything. Mashenkin in the Neshama, it doesn't even appear that way.
It said it appears is only because it has a higher shape.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead. Now, so Oir, light, as it manifests from the Eibishter, Levi, don't sleep, you're going to enjoy this year. Oir, as it manifests, Oir, as it manifests, can't give wash your hand, go wash your face. Oir is a ha'ara, is only a reflection of the source that's attached to the source. The Havdalah category of Nevraim, those things that come into existence in a way that they're separated from the source, the nature of their being is that they come from the, so to speak, the point in Atzmus that has no connectedness to anything else, and it comes forth from Atzmus in a way that it is separate from Atzmus. Now we get to the point that I wanted to share, which leads us to a very, very interesting and yesodistic difference between Oisius and Oir, and that is, yeah, you have Oir, and you have Oisius. Push them back into Atzmus. You have two types of things. You have things that exist in a way that they're attached to the source, and things that exist in a way that they're separated from the source. How are they in the source? Light in the source, how is it? And Nivdolim, Osius, Kalim, in the source, how are they? And you have a fascinating distinction. And it's very important that you understand this. When you take oil, you put it back into the moil, you know what happens? Take a wild guess. There's no oil. Oil in the moil is non-oil. Why? Because what is oil? Oil is simply a gilui hamoil, a reflection of the source. You take the light, you put it back into the source, it's source again. What about Oisius? You take Oisius, and you go back to Atzmus and Hus. What do you have in Atzmus and Hus? You know what the answer is? In Atzmus and Hus there are Oisius. How many Oisius? Infinite Oisius. Why is that? Because Oisius don't come from any place. Oisius are. Things that are Nivdal, things that are separate, the nature of their existence is, you don't create them, you don't destroy them, you don't multiply them, you don't bring them together, you don't separate them apart. Whatever they are. And the way they exist is that they're Nivdal. The way Oisius are Mushrish and Atzmus, or at least the way they're Mushrish and Etzem HaNefesh, they exist. So when you put Oid into the source, it becomes the source. When you put Oisius into the source is full of Oisius. You have a phrase in our Maimon, which is a very important phrase. That phrase is, Hanefesh Malaya Oisius. The soul is full of letters. Do you remember what page it's on? I want to show you the expression. It's important that you know it. From the top of the page, good for you. Page Lamed Ches. The second line from the top of the page, it says, Hanefesh Malaya Oisius. This is a very important klal in Hasidus. It's brought up, come up, I mean, this is not just the Vista B'chlal in Hasidus. There's a lot of phrases, words that are not just words, but concepts. Hanefesh Malei Oisius is a concept. What does that mean? It means that the soul is full of letters. The way those Oisius, the way those letters, but you it says Malaya, but me it says Malei. Okay, I have an older print, you must be an updated print. Page Lamed, but you says Hanefesh Malei Oisius? Page Lamed Ches, second line from the top? Yeah. Ah, but me it says Malei. Okay, so yours is a corrected. By the way, when they made those corrections, they made that's usually the Lashon Nefesh Malei Oisius. Because you don't create Oisius. Oisius either are or aren't. Those things that are not even of Havdalah, they don't have children. They don't multiply. They don't become more. They don't become less. They are. So in the Nefesh, if the Oisius are not found in the Nefesh, the Oisius are not going to come out of the Nefesh. What does that mean? If you would go back to Atzmus and Hus, you would find literally, it's not a philosophy, it's not figurative, it's literal, infinite number of letters. Now obviously, in the Etzem HaNefesh, these infinite number of letters are totally bottled by Matthias. But there's an enormous difference between the way Oyer is bottled by Matthias and the way Oisius are bottled by Matthias. Why? Take Oyer, put it back in the Moir. The bittle b'metzias of the Oyer is that the Oyer is now Moir. Take Oisius, put him back into the Nefesh. That's not the Oisius of Abraham and Moir. Oisius are bottled to the Nefesh, but they exist. The little individual parts of each individual Oisius still exist in the Nefesh. It's totally by his batlos. You can't see it, you can't distinguish it, you don't know what it is, you don't know that it's there. But it's there b'metzias. Because the rule of Havdalah is, you can't multiply it, you can't divide it, you can't add to it, you can't subtract to it, whatever it is, till Atzmus Amos. Masha'enkin Oir, Oir is the Gilei HaNefesh. When the Gilei HaNefesh is in the Nefesh, it's Nefesh. Now, let's give an example. Okay? A person learns, and he has an idea. That idea has within itself words, naturally, because if it doesn't have words, the person doesn't know what to talk, can't talk, can't even think. And Oir Lichtigkeit, yeah? This person learns more. As the person learns more, they understand the concept better, or they understand the separate concept, or they take two concepts and show the correlation. They show the similarity between the two concepts. The two concept becomes one concept, and so on and so forth. Yeah, what happens? Take two concepts, learn another concept. In the realm of Oir, yeah? In the person's brain, when you learn more, what's the pshat? When you learn more, you have more details? More facts? No. When you learn more, the expression is, the brain is stretching, the brain is expanding. The more you learn, the more you see the unity of the idea. Yeah, you learn the concept of kol mash tachas yad adam shalayu. Yeah, that's a law in Chazaka. This is not exactly Pesachim stuff. Yeah, whatever you have in your hand is yours. And you learn the concept of ameitze mechaveri olavaraya. Those are really the same concept. But when you're learning it in the fifth grade, the first time you're learning the halachas of Chazaka and the learners of Meitzei Mechaveri, it's two separate dinim. You get a little smarter, you know a little bit more, you find out that a Meitzei Mechaveri Olav Araya and Kol Ma'ashtachas Yadadim Shalayhu was the same principle. Because we believe in the principle of a muhsik, when you have something in your hand, it's yours. Therefore, if somebody wants to take it to you, he has to have a raya to take it out of your shoes. So what's happening? You're getting smarter, and it's becoming a unity. Two ideas are becoming one. But the unity takes place in the Oira Seichel, in the Lichtigkeit of the Seichel, not in the Oisius. Oisius are Atzmiyam. You cannot add or subtract, divide or multiply Oisius. Every Oisius is an Inyan Atzmiyam, a thing unto itself. Till Atzmus and Hus. Not only that, it says in Chassidus, in your Atzma Nefesh, there's different types of Oisius. In the Atzma Nefesh, you already have Oisius that are going to become Oisius of Tainu. You have Oisius that are going to become Oisius of Ratzin. You have Oisius that are going to become Oisius of Chochmah. You have Oisius that are going to become Oisius of what's called in this Maimer, Pnimiyaz Bina. You have Oisius that are going to become Oisius of Chitzeniyaz Bina. Then you have Oisius that are going to become the Oisius of the Midas. Then you have the Oisius that are going to become the Oisius of Machshava. And then you have the Oisius that are going to become the Oisius Hadibur. Every one of these has their own Shadish in the Nefesh. It's not like when you speak the same Oisius that you think. They're different Oisius, with different personalities and different muhus and different types of Havdalah properties. Because you can't change Oisius. Oisius are like pieces of stone. You have two stones, you have two Oisius. You have 100 stones, you have 100 Oisius. There's no changes in Oisius at all. Here's what you have to understand also. How does the Hishtalsus operate? The Eibishter created a world by choice. He didn't have to do it. He chose to create a world that's comprised, that's made up of these two types of Metzius. Those things that are Dveikus, those things that are the Teva of attachedness, what I called before, Kiruv and Gilui. And those things that are even of Havdalah, by the way, another name for the word Havdalah is Helem, Keach Ne'elam. And the Eibishter creates the world by combining these two properties. Yes, so how does it work? The Eibishter has two big faucets. You open up one faucet and out tumbles a bunch of aces. You open up the other faucet and out tumbles a bunch of aces. That's not the way it works. There's one tool. In Lamaila we call it the Kav. Yeah? Lamata by a person you can call whatever you want. But there's only one faucet. There's only one spout from which everything comes forward. So how does it work? How does it work? In the Atmos of the Nefesh. And Vayochel, in the Atmos Lamaila, there's two categories of things. The category of things that their metzias is havdalah, separate from the source, separate from everything else. And the category of things that's dveikus, attached to every other light. Like I gave you the example, if you put two flames together, you have one flame. You put two ideas together, they become a greater idea. The words remain separate. And also attachedness to the source. How does it work? Does anybody know how does it work? You learned it in the Maimon. Duves Levi Yitzchak. The way it works is mehis avus ha'oyer nashu hakeli. The way the Eibishter operates is he makes you one gilu, one hamshacha. This hamshacha is light that has oisiyos in it. The light has oisiyos in it, and they're interdependent. You can't separate one from the other. Why? When light comes out of the nefesh, there's oisiyos in that light. There has to be oisiyos in that light. Why, when light comes out of the nefesh, has the oasis in that light? Because if there's no oasis in that light, there won't be light either. How does light shine? How does light shine? What is the criteria of gilu? I mean, I've been through this with you guys 50 times already. Did you have to shine it on something else, yeah? What is the something else that you shine something on for it to be revealed? At the beginning, oasis. When oasis from the nefesh is gilu, there has to be oasis. There is no such thing as a gilu without oasis, period.
You're shining the light on the oasis.
Yes, or to say it more fine, the fact that the light is shining is proof that in the light there is oasis.
In the light or on the light?
In the light. What do I mean? Okay, I'm going to tell you a few things about the sun, okay? But it's possible that what I'm about to tell you about the sun isn't true. But Lamaila is true. I once spoke to you about this in Ishiya, that there's a difference in the Moshe and the Nimshel. It's in Samach Vav and Pei Dereish Chafei. I always tell you to look it up inside. I don't think you've done it, but I'm going to tell you a few things about the sun, which either are or aren't true in the sun, but they're for sure true Lamaila. That is like this. The sun is dark. It's black. It's invisible. Why? Because it's an Atzmi. It's higher than revelation. Revelation is a tzimtzum. Revelation is a relationship to something other than yourself. An Atzmi, a truth, relates to nothing other than itself. The sun is black. Now, you're going to tell me that the sun is bright, fine, but I mean the Eibishter. I'm using the sun as an analogy, as an analog, but I mean the Eibishter. He's concealed, finished. Which means what? That when the light comes out of the sun, you know what the light is? It's also dark. The source is concealed, it's hidden. The light is also dark. What does that mean? That light is not gilui? No. It's such a powerful gilui, nobody can see it. Just that you can't see the sun itself, because the sun is a nif and helam b'yatim. The light is the same thing. The fact of the matter is, you do see sunlight. One second. The fact of the matter is, you do see sunlight. You know why? Because there's a screen around the sun. There's a natik, Hashem. The screen around the sun affects a tzimtzum in the sun's light. And by affecting a tzimtzum in the sun's light is able to shine. We're able to see it. But the tzimtzum in the sun's light has various steps. And the first step of the tzimtzum in the sun's light is the way the light of the sun is revealed inside the sun. In other words, the light of the sun travels 93 million miles. It comes to the earth, so we have light. It shines. The fact that the light shines down here proves that even in the sun, the light is in a bechina of shining. What takes place in the sun for the light to be revealed, to be shining in the sun? And the answer is, the Eibishter takes the light of the sun, he attaches it to what we're going to call the oithiest of the sun's light. And that's how the light shines. In other words, when you look at a piece of light and the light is shining, there's two things in that light. There's the light itself, and there's the thing that is carrying the light that it should be revealed. What is carrying the light that should be revealed? If you will, for lack of words, the oithiest Hashemesh. The oithiest, the thing in the sun that makes it be a metzias that allows it to be revealed. This is a little bit abstract, I use different words. Can you have a concept without words? Can there be a concept that has a wordless concept?
So the words are carrying the concept.
The words carry the concept, right.
The concept has words in
it. It's not one of the same thing. Because if the concept exists, it has to have words. I'll give you an example. Yeah? You guys went to campfires, I did, years and years ago, yeah? So in the middle of the night, you flip on your flashlight and you see a very interesting phenomenon. There's a beam of light. And you notice that the beam of light is dirty. It's full of little floating particles, right? Invisible tiny particles that you'll never see in another environment, but out in the wilderness where it's really dark, you see literally a beam of light full of particles. And I remember laying at night looking up at this beam of particles and wishing I could take a vacuum cleaner and clean out the beam so it should be pure light without any particles. And then I made an interesting discovery. You know what would happen if you took all the particles out of the beam of light? The light would go away. The flashlight would be on and it wouldn't be shining. If you went into outer space and you put on a flashlight, there would be no beam. Now what does it mean? The light is not traveling out of the flashlight, or you better believe it's traveling out of the flashlight. But there's no revelation of that beam. Why? Because revelation has to be onto something. What is the something that the light shines on to be a Matthias of aid? It's Caleb, it's pieces. Every one of those tiny little pieces is a piece. Two don't, one don't become two, and two don't become one. They're individual oisius, essences. Now, of course, you could take oisius, make words out of it, words and sentences, but that's the pool of the oil on the oisius. The oisius by themselves are nivdal, separated from their source, and separate from every other ois. It's an interesting concept. There's no such thing as gluing oisius together and changing them. There certainly is a concept of gluing things together. That's what words are, that's what ideas are. But the gluing is not mitzad the oisius. It's mitzad something outside of the oisius. Oisius are nivdal, separated from the source and separate from every other oisius. So you have two categories of existences. One category of existences that is designed to be connected to everything like itself, connected to its source. You take five concepts, you can make those five concepts to one greater concept. And there's another type of an existence, and by the way, that same oisius, when you put it into the source, it's not a Matthias of it, it's source. But then there's oisius. Oisius are separated within the source itself, they're separated. And you cannot bring oisius together. They remain inevitably, inexorably, forever together. And as I told you earlier, there's different types of oisius. The oisius of Tainug are separate from the oisius of Ratzin, which are separate from the oisius of Chochmah, the separate oisius of Pnimius Bina, Chetzenius Bina, Midas, and Machshava and Dibur. Let me ask you a dumb question. See if the common sense brain has been brought to class. Why didn't I say Oisius of Maisa? There's Oisius of Taino, there's Oisius of Ratzin, there's Oisius of Chochmah, there's Oisius of Pnimius Bina, Chetzenius Bina, Midas of Machshava and Dibur. Why didn't I also say Oisius of Maisa? Anybody? Interesting. Anybody else? Interesting. You'll hear my answer, you'll see how it's not a contradiction to what you're saying. But lady, what are the oisius of Maisa? What are the oisius of Maisa? The oisius of Maisa are the gosh musical world. The oisius of Maisa, I take a pen, I write words. That's an oisius of Maisa, yeah? Where'd that come from? It came from the lead. It didn't come from my nefesh. I build a house, that house are my oisius of Maisa. Oisius of Tainu come from where? From the Nefesh. Oisius of Ratzah come from where? From the Nefesh. Even Oisius of Dibur, where do Oisius of Dibur come from? Come from the Nefesh. Oisius of Maisius come from where? From the world. Of course there's Oyer. Wait a minute. You build a beautiful, you make a beautiful sculpture. There's no Lichte, no Seichel in that. There's no Chochmah, there's no Chush. But the Oyer, the Ruchnis, came from you. You. The letters came from clay. The clay didn't come out of your head. Or out of your heart, or out of your mouth. It came from the world. So, of course there are atheists of Maise. But oisis and mice are not in the nefesh. Oisis and mice are in the world. Masha'enkin oisis ha-dibur and oisis ha-machshava. And certainly the higher you go, the oisis come forward from the nefesh itself. You understand, Yossi? That's why there certainly are oisis of mice. Oisis of mice don't come from the nefesh. That's why mice is so different than machshava and dibur and the things higher than those. Because in the higher levels, where do the oisis come from? They come from your soul. They come from your subconscious, they come from your essence. The oisis of mice come from outside of you. Now, let's take it to the next step. We now know that the Eibishter made the nefesh to consist of these two categories of things. The category of things that's nived off from every other thing like itself, nived off from its source, and those things which are dovuk in the source. But we also know another thing. What is the other thing? How do oisis come out of the nefesh? How do oisis come out of the nefesh? Let me tell you avot, yeah? You're talking, you're having a conversation, or you're giving a shir, you're fabreging with the Yagabach, you're giving over a inyan, yeah? You're speaking a concept, yeah? That concept has to have words. If it doesn't have words, it doesn't exist. But that concept is not only words. Because if the concept is only words, what do you have? What are words? Words are nothing, yeah? If a person comes into the room and starts speaking words, words are disconnect. Words are nothing, they're dead. The words have to communicate ideas, yeah? Where do the words come from? Seriously, where do the words come from? Anybody? Hello? They come from your nefesh, yeah? Are you concentrating? Are you thinking about producing words? Are you busy trying to get words out of the nefesh? Are you schlepping words out of the nefesh? Hello? Of course not. You should know, that if the Eibishter wanted to be totally fair about it, the Eibishter wanted to make a world in a way that makes total sense. Every time you wanted to say a word, you have to go into the Etzem HaNefesh and yank it out. Every time you wanted to say a word, besides for the idea of the word, the concept, the orient of the word, which you work on, you would have to work on the words themselves. The Amish is a nice guy. And he made the Nefesh in most people, healthy people. Of course, the person can't speak is an exception to this rule, as you saw inside. That if you produce ayat, he'll deliver the oisis. You consist of two parts, oyed and oisis, dveikus and havdalah. But you don't have to worry about havdalah. It's going to come by itself. There's a lashon from the Reb Marash. It's printed in the back of the Samach Vav. I should show it to you inside, where the Reb Marash said, me'enfert vide'edo. The Reb Marash was talking about how he relates to Hasidim. You have to answer the Hasidim. You tell the Hasidim information based on their level, where they are at. Un atmus um hus stelt zu oisis. And who gives you the words? Atmus um hus. Now, no, forget. You speak to the people's level, but the level has to do with the oir, with the concepts, with the feelings, with the senses, with the ruchnis of the people. The words the Eibishter provides. For the Rebbe, he's talking about himself. The point is, nobody worries about words. When you're thinking about something, you're not worried, hey, how am I getting the words with which to think? When you're speaking about something, you're not worried about, hey, where did these words come from? They came from the nefesh. And to be sure, their source in the nefesh is higher than the source of the idea. When you produce an idea and you speak, I'm talking to you right now, yeah? I hope I'm saying something intelligent, which is reaching you intellectually. Okay? I'm not worried about the words. The words are tumbling out of the nefesh by itself. The emes is to produce words should be higher than to produce ideas. And I'll give you a simple proof. Animals can come up with brilliant ideas. They cannot speak. You should know, I cannot tell you how many studies have been done where the quote, scientists who are so convinced that we're just an advanced form of apes can't understand why chimpanzees can't speak. You know, the chimpanzees have all the plumbing to speak. They have all, they have a vocal cord. They have all, their mouths are designed, they should be able to talk. There's no explanation for why they cannot speak. It's one of the great problems of science. But if you learn a little Hasidus, you know that it says in the data, Vayahi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, God blew into Adam Rishon, a breath of life, and man came a living being. What does Targum say in the word Vayahi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya? It's an amazing Targum. You know? L'ruach mimalola, a spirit that can produce words, speak. Of all things, when the Targum Unculus translates what makes a human being, nefesh chaya, that he can speak. Speech is such a big deal. To create buildings, to build atom bombs, to send rockets to outside of our solar system, that's a big deal. Zoktayda, no. To produce words is more difficult than to create a rocket to send to the moon. Why? Because words is something that Ebishah has to give you, a soul, a nefesh amadaberes, right? There's daimim, tzemeach, chai, what's the fourth one called? It's not called maskil. It's not called chochem. It's called medaber. Because one of the deepest qualities, or perhaps not the deepest, but one of the deepest qualities of humanhood is the ability to produce eisis adibur. The Ebishah has to give a special soul for that. It's not physiological. The Rebbe mentions in Dada Maimed. Parrots speak. But parrots are not medaber. They're chai. Why? Because their words are not coming from the nefesh. They're coming from the mouth. A man was created with the eisis, with a nefesh that produces eisis adibur. Animals produce eisis hamachshava, at least on some level. But the chap is, the dered is, the thing interesting about it is, the words tumble out of nefesh by itself. It says in Chassidus Befedish, that if all things were equal, if the Eibishter made his word completely logically, every time you would say one word, it would take minutes, maybe hours, to create the word, to bring it out of the nefesh, to carry it from the nefesh, bring it down, connect it to the oisir, to the oir, and produce a word. But the Eibishter doesn't do it that way. He's a nice guy. He makes the oisir tumble out of the nefesh by themselves. Which deceives us. It tricks us. What is the deception? When we produce an idea, we forget to notice that that idea is actually two things. It's light, it's a concept, and the words that are carrying that concept. If there were not words carrying that concept, the concept wouldn't be. When you produce a feeling, whether you're expressing it to yourself or you're expressing it to another person, that feeling has to have words. If there's no words, it doesn't exist. It's like light that comes out of the source. It's dark, like the source is dark. There has to be atheist. Every single revelation is being carried by atheist. You know what the translation of the word atheist is? He says in the Maimon. Does anybody remember? Levi, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, Man HaGaonim. What is, Mesh Yeshua, what is, huh? Miloshin Asa Boiker, to bring forward. Asa Boiker, the morning has come. Atheist, bring. Nothing exists without atheist. Can't be. A neshama without a guf cannot exist. Anything that is has to have something that carries it, that brings it. A person sits and learns a concept. That concept has to have words, otherwise the concept doesn't exist. Why do we fail to realize it? Because the Eibishter, in his kindness, allows oisis to tumble out of the nefesh by themselves. So you don't. There's no effort. You have to sit and study to understand the concept. To produce the words that carry that concept, you don't have to work. Nice. Even though the production of the words that carry that concept is a bigger ness, comes from a higher place in the nefesh, it's a greater tzimtzum, but the Eibishter made it that it should happen automatically. Every time you express a feeling, yeah, you're so preoccupied with the feeling. The words of the expression are a bigger chiddush than the feeling itself. But you don't notice the words. Because Eibishter made it, he didn't have to. He made the system in such a way that you produce the light, he'll provide the oasis. And God forbid a person cannot speak, produces the light, and no oasis. Eibishter didn't give him that koyach.
The substance and form is the same thing like light and oasis.
Substance and form are philosophical, to an extent, yes. I mean, you have to understand that form has already oish. Form, what does form mean? Form means bluff. this oish of the bluff. Oishes are dead. They're like stones. That's all. They're dead. They're absolutely without personality. No character. But they carry. They tragen. Now, so what's the Rebbe saying in the mind? It's very simple. The whole hishtashlus, everything that comes into existence, everything you give out of yourself is a combination of oish and oishes. It has to be. There's no oil without oisis. There's no such thing as expressing anything without words. You take the words for granted. The emesis, the words come from the Yetzem HaNefesh mamish. Hayod Nesheda Shei, number one. The emesis that even in the Yetzem HaNefesh, every ois is separate by itself. There's no such thing as production of oisis. Oisis don't have kids. Oil has children. A higher oil produces a lower oil. A lower egg can grow to be a greater egg. Atheists don't have children, but they are what they are, fatig. So the Rebbe says a very interesting thing. Now that the oid has come out, which means the atheists have come out, remove the oid and leave over the atheists. Take away the oid and leave over the atheists. You have a truly separated entity, something which is completely separated from yourselves. You have an idea. The idea comes out with words. Then take the idea away, leave over the words. Or scramble the words. Make the words not reflect the idea. Now something exists which is totally separate from the source. That's the marshal of Yesh Me'ayin. The marshal of Yesh Me'ayin is, you should know every time there's a Gila, there's Oasis. But what does Gila mean? What does Gila mean? What does Gila mean? Attached. Attached to the source. So the Gila comes out of the Nefesh, right? That Gili consists of light and feces. Now, take a vacuum cleaner and remove the oir, not the oir, leave the oisius over. When you take away the light and leave over only the oisius, now you have something which is categorized, separated from its source. That's the marshal of Yesh Me'ayin. When the oisius come out of the nefesh, they come together with the oir. If you will then remove the oir, leave over only the oisius. The oisius is separate. That's Yesh Me'ayin. Oh, the oisius are Moshe Shenatzmos. And they continue to, or I'll say it really in other words, every ois is a piece of Atzmos. And it continues to be Atzmos. No, but then it's an Eitan of Abdol. Right. The whole idea of Tzimtzum is take away the oil, leave over the oisius. Now you have something which exists separate from the source.
Never
huh? You
scramble the words. Otherwise, we have the book, we'll just get back to that.
Precisely. Right. Now every individual ois, huh? Okay. Don't mix Rabbi Jacobson's shiurim with Rabbi Paltiel's shiurim. It's not necessarily a stira, but okay. Okay. I hope that helped. This is a very important shiur, huh? Right. But the coding has to do with the oir of the ideas. Yesh Me'ayin is to isolate the oisius by themselves. Not less oir, not a messed up oir, no oir. Just the oisius, that's Yesh Me'ayin. Now, it's not really Yesh Me'ayin, it comes from Atzmus. But it has come from Atzmus in a way that now it's separate from the Eibishter. Well, what are oisius? Oisius are, they're separate from the Eibishter. What are oisius? Havdalah. Havdalah means I'm separated from what? I'm separate from everything else, and I'm separated from my source. You with me? A man made a speech and he wrote it down. Okay, and then he lost his mind. He reads the speech. Well, what does it say? No idea. The words exist. The light is gone. Those words are now very separate. When there was a wisdom in the words, when those words made sense, the sense of the words made the words closer together. They made them more attached to one another, and more importantly, more attached to him. Right? Hello? Yes? Now that he lost his mind, what happened? The words exist, the words didn't go away, the light is gone. Why? Because the light is attached to him. The light, he has to know the light, doesn't know the light doesn't exist. But the words exist. They're dead words, but they exist. That's emotional for Yesh Me'ayin. Maybe she takes away the light, leaves over the words.